This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out once again, riding old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Yes, you know what an old trailblazer does? Back there many years ago when I was a young man, we lived out in the country, really out in the woods. And my dad cut logs for a living, and we hunted in the woods. Woods were very, very thick then. And wasn't much opening. And man would go out, or he'd ride a horse or walk, take his chopping axe with him, and if he's going back half a mile, 2 miles back in the woods, he'd just blaze him a path. He'd cut a bush here and cut a bush there and blaze a side, take a slab off the side of a tree, and then he could come right back down that same road. But he blazed a path back in there to the heart of where he wanted to go. So we're doing that, only we're cutting away the error and the false preaching and all of those things. We're exposing those things here on the Trailblazer Broadcast. And Pastor Shelton was the originator of the Trailblazer Broadcast. He was an old country boy and depicted himself as a circuit rider back there like the old people used to do. Especially, you know, the Methodists always appreciated the old Methodist circuit riders. They'd put the saddle in their Bible in the saddlebag on the back of an old shaggy horse and spend a month on the road going from church to church preaching the gospel. We don't have that anymore. Or do it. Boy, it would be good if we did. Those old white-haired, stoop-shouldered old men with their saddlebag and their Bible in it, and they'd go take supper, spend a week with somebody and take supper every night. But my friend, we don't have it. But I'm the old trailblazer here, and I'm bringing you that same message that Christ died for sinners. Day after day, I'm bringing you the message that we send out here across this nation and around the world. And while I'm at it, let me mention, we publish many good books by Pastor Shelton, tracts and booklets, and we have folks all over this nation and even around the world handing out tracts. And if you can do that, if you'd like to have a sample of all of those books, we send them to you, and if you appreciate them and realize that they're the truth and you want to put them out in the drugstore and the hospital and the jails, you write me and I'll send them to you free and postpaid. We have a man in the Indian Ocean who wrote me and wants 10,000 copies to give out. We send them to him day by day, and we have a Bible fund here where folks send money. We send Bibles to the prisoners all over America, chaplains, writers. One man wrote me and said, we have 17,000 prisoners, Pastor. Would you help us with some bilingual Bibles and some regular English Bible? We do that because folks help us with the money. Well, we're looking at a study on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're looking there now at the church at Ephesus, how the Lord is speaking to the to Apostle John there, and he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. Let's notice our Lord's commendation. It's a marvelous thing the Lord did here. He commended this church so much that we are prone to ask, could there be anything wrong with this noble church? There are 7 points which he commends them. I want you to listen to all 7 of them. I know thy works. I know thy works. They were doing as they were ordained to do. He said, I know thy labors. Did you know it's a lot of labor in getting out the gospel? Oh, folks think that all a preacher does now is drive around in a big car and eat a lot of chicken. But my friend, that's not true. That's not true. It's a labor. It's a labor. Folks that call me and say, where'd you get this job, Pastor? I said, well, it's not a job. It's a labor, but it's a calling. And then he says, I know thy patience. The Lord is so gracious. I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. I know how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. I know that thou hast borne, hast patience, and labored for my name's sake. That's what we do here. It's not to make a name for the old trailblazer, not to make a name for this church. No, we're doing it for the Lord's sake. He says, I know how thou hast not fainted or grown weary. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. The Bible says, thy labor is not in vain. Speaking to the pastor, speaking to the church. But listen, I know thy works. This church was not a comfortable club where they set up their committee meeting and smoke cigars and drink beer and gossip about the others. No. or went out to religious movies on Sunday night, done away with his Sunday evening service, and watched the Super Bowl. It was an active, aggressive congregation of the saints. It was the family of God meeting together, who met together for worship. Now, my friend, we've kind of gotten all out of kilter on what a church is, hadn't we? Yes, sir, we do. We do. He said, I know thy toil. I know thy labor. The word labor here signifies that they toiled at the cost of pain or suffering. Folks don't want to work no more, do they? Did you know that? Folks don't want to work. Everybody wants to start at the top. That's right. That's right. I used to be in the electrical business, and I'd have kids come in right out of high school, and they wanted to start off at top dollar. They did. They didn't want to learn like I did. I learned. I started off at 50 cents an hour and worked for many, many months and years before I ever got thought about getting a raise, but I learned to trade like they did back there in the old times. I think we ought to do that now. Be apprenticed to somebody, to a plumber or electrician or a sheet metal worker or even a farmer. Oh, my friend, our country, did you know our country is on a downgrade? I see what's going on with our young people. I made this statement. I made some people mad. I believe that every young man coming out of high school ought to have to serve at least a year in the military. Yeah, that's right. To learn some sense. To learn the discipline. That's right. To learn, my friend. I was in the service. I know what it is. I was made to mind at home. I was to say yes, sir, or no, sir, or no, ma'am, no, sir. It don't matter who they were, what color they were. None of those things. I learned. I didn't have to change when I got in the service, but I knew to respect authority. We don't have any respect for authority anymore. But he told his church, he said, I know thy labor. It was not something that they did that cost them nothing. No, for behind all of their works lay toil. It's a lot of work goes on here, my friend, in getting out the gospel. We have about 15 paid employees here that we help get out the gospel, do all the labor here, printing and running the printing press and the collator and getting the booklets in the mail and running the bookstore and doing all the editorial work and all of those things. It's a labor, my friend. It's not a calling. You can't hire nobody off the street to do what we do here. You have to do it because you want to see the Lord's work go forth. As someone has said, they were working at the price of toil. Oh, at the price of toil. As one might behold them, they would appear to be a flawless church. Now, we're going to see that, my friend. I do not know of a preacher, but who would want to be the pastor of such a church? Oh, my friend. Today, the churches that we have today, they just a hotbed of confusion. Listen, they did not sit down and let their pastor do all the work. And I praise the Lord for that. Let me mention to you folks here. I'm the pastor here at the church, and we have mission places in several cities within driving distance of New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, and Baton Rouge, and Mobile, and Hattiesburg, and Picayune, and other places. And I have a group of young men whom the Lord has saved and given them unto me as missionaries to these mission places. And they go out on Sunday night, and they preach the gospel. Sometime one of them will stay here at where I preach, and I go out to the mission places. But listen, labor, my friend. Some of them get back 12, 1 o'clock at night, got to get up. They all work for a living. They're not deadheads. They don't lay up on their laurels. No, sir. But listen, they don't sit down and let the pastor do all the work. But you know what the pastor does? Lead them. That's the reason I tell them. You're not going to beat me at being here. I work sick a lot of time, but I'm here before they are. I'm here before the workers are. And listen, I don't believe in dragging folks. If I have to drag you, I don't need you. But listen now. Listen. Then they don't have to drag the men or beg the women or put on a picture show on Sunday night to get the young people to come to church. No. They came because they wanted to come. They came because they were saved and loved the Lord and loved His Word. Also, He said, I know thy patience. I want you to go back and read these verses. But he said, I know thy patience. Patience is mentioned here twice in connection with their service and suffering. It takes a lot of patience, my friend, to govern a church, to rule a church, to pastor a church. They carried on their work without grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. Oh, my friend, I have a plaque on my wall that says, thou shalt not whine, thou shalt not grumble. Work hard, pray a lot, That's right. That's my motto. There was a meekness and a willingness about their work that was, you couldn't describe it. This church here at Ephesus. Notice in the fourth commendation he says, I know that thou canst not bear evil men. And I praise the Lord that there was no impurity or sin condoned within the borders of that church. As I mentioned in our last study, the Lord tells me to preach the gospel, to rebuke and reproach and reprove. And all that means is, my friend, is don't put up with sin in your church. Call their names if you have to. The church was separated from the world. They guarded the fellowship of the saints against unholy and impure men and women. Thus, the church at Ephesus practiced church discipline, which today is a thing of the past. Let a church try to practice church discipline today, and the pastor and the church are both tabooed, considered crazy, and neighboring churches throw their doors open wide to receive those disgruntled, wicked, excluded members without one question. That's right. If the church puts someone out here for disciplinary action, there's the church on the next corner that'll take them and put them on their board of directors. Oh, listen. It's a common thing today to admit men known to be bad in fellowship and permit them to hold high offices in the church right down the street. The world has so overflowed the church today until I wonder, where it would begin and where it would end if she tried to discipline her members. As I said, many young preachers, old preachers too, let things go on in their church because they're afraid. Oh, listen, my friend, listen. Would you think about it? Would you think about it? Notice the fifth commendation that Christ paid this church. Thou hast tried them which called them apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. Now, we're going to wait and take that up in our next study so we can give it our best. But you go back and read these first few chapters, especially the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. And don't be afraid to read Revelation. Just take it as it is. Just take it as it is. And if you want these notes in print, you write me, and I'll send them to you. They were printed back there years ago. It's not just exactly like comes out over the Trailblazer, but it's the notes and outlines that I use to bring these messages over. And I believe you can glean from them everything that's being said here. And then these messages on the Trailblazer are available on cassette, tape, or CDs. I have folks write me, give me that whole series on the soon coming of the Lord. Send me that whole series on the RSB Bible. Send me that whole series on the grace of God. All of those things, my friend, because they want to hear. You don't hear everything. You can't hear everything the first time. No, you can't hear it. We have a broadcast here in New Orleans. I hear it at 5:30 in the morning, and then it comes on again about 9 o'clock, and I hear it again in my office, and I hear something different. Even though I brought the message, I hear something new on it. So you can't hear everything. But my friend, if you just ask the Lord for the old Trailblazer, give me strength and grace. As I said earlier, I've already passed the 310. And I need your prayers. I need your strength. I need the strength of the Lord to get up and go on every day. And then it takes grace, my friend, to be the pastor of a church. Oh, you can do these little 90-day wonders that come out and dance around. I've known preachers who gets about four messages together and hits the sawdust trail or evangelistic trail and picking up a big offering everywhere they go. But no, I can't do that. No, I have to ask the Lord. Lord, you give me what you want me to bring. Remember, this is the old Trailblazer. My address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And I wish you would pray for me. And then write me and let me know that you're praying for me. And if you could, go out in the backyard and dig up that old coffee can and send me $100. Say, Trailblazer, put this on the broadcast. I want you to stay on this station I'm listening to. If you don't, some of you folks don't write me, I might have to cancel this broadcast and go somewhere else. Folks want my broadcast. So until next time, goodbye and God bless you.